Lala Kent, motherfuckers. We're back with a brand new episode of my brand new podcast. Give them Lala. Hurry it.
Hello. Everyone.
I know.
Guess who?
Guess who?
It's Jess.
It's Jessica Walta. Oh my God, what a freaking amazing weekend.
Tell me about it, because I haven't heard about it yet.
I just live for Ocean Kent. You have no idea. Like, you do have an idea because you're here every day.
Right.
But my daughter is a baby genius. Okay. That's just period. No one can argue with me. Mm-hmm. I'll say to her, like, I started doing this thing where I'm like, Mama, and I point at myself, loves ocean. And then I point at her. So now every time I say Mama loves, she points at herself. Or she'll point at me and then point at herself when I'm like, it's the cutest thing. She shows me that she's one.
Oh, she does.
Yes.
I haven't seen that yet. That's
I know.
Cute.
She waves at everybody.
She waves at everyone.
And when people don't wave back, I want to fucking jump them.
Yeah.
Wave to my child.
Wave to my baby. Not skinny, but not fat.
Yeah.
Posted on her story a couple weeks ago. And she was recording her son waving to someone walking by. And she said in the video, she's like, look at him. He's waving. Wave back. Wave back. Don't be a bitch. Don't be a bitch. Don't be a bitch. And then the person keeps walking. She's like, okay, there's a bitch right there. Yeah.
You bitch.
Yeah. Wave back to my child.
Yeah. So when people don't wave back, I, number one, want to cut them. And number two, I wave back to Ocean. I'm like, don't you worry. Mama's always got you.
That's so cute.
Yeah. So we went to Teddy Mellencamp's daughter's birthday.
Okay.
Dove. She turned two. Stassi and Bo were there with Hartford. I met a bunch of cool moms.
You did?
I met a bunch of cool moms.
Really?
Who are just doing the damn thing.
Cool moms are a vibe.
You know? Mm-hmm. Nothing hotter than just like a parent.
Right.
Who's like doing the parent job.
Yeah.
You know, the balls deep in it.
Yeah.
So we were already talking about preschool, and Stassi texted me Sunday morning. The party was on Saturday, bright and early. She was like, what the fuck do we do about this?
About preschool.
We have to start schmoozing.
Yeah.
I said two things. I have been in an environment for so many years where the facade and materialistic things were a priority. Mm-hmm. I don't want it anymore. I don't like it. I didn't like it then. Mm-hmm. Contrary.
But what about the time you said blowjobs or PJs?
I got it. All right. Shock value.
Yeah.
I don't want it. Mm-hmm. Didn't care about it fucking then. I don't care about it now. Mm-hmm. My two top priorities that I told Stassi. One, I want my kid to have the best time ever. I want her to be around kids. I want her to be stimulated. I want her to be safe. Mm-hmm. The second is, I want my kid around Hartford. Mm-hmm. I grew up with my mom's best friends having babies, and their babies were my best friends. Like, that is priority to me. So wherever Hartford is going, where do I sign up?
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think all of your babies will go? Like, your crew? All the kids will go in the same? Or is it just, like, you're focusing on Hartford and Ocean because they seem to be
No, I think the thing that's hard with Sheena is she lives the dream where she, like, has her place in LA. She has her place in San Diego. She has her place in Palm Springs. She travels. Like, she lives such a fun, fun life. Mm-hmm. But what's hard is, like, I always know that she's constantly on the move. Mm-hmm. So obviously when it comes, I'll talk to Brittany. I'll talk to Sheena. But it gets hard. Like, we signed, me, Britt, and Stoss signed the girls and crews up for baby sensory classes. Mm-hmm. On Wednesdays, and it's like Mommy and Me. And I knew Sheena couldn't do it because she's spending her time in San Diego right now.
Oh.
You know, so
yeah.
I will venture into, like, where are we going to school, everybody? Mm-hmm. Let's do this.
Yeah. But that is a good point. You had, so that was important to you. You have, who's still, I think, your best friend, someone that you went to, like, grade school with, right?
Yes.
Aw.
See, two of them. I had two of them.
Really?
Yes.
And you're still friends with both of them?
The best of friends.
So that's important.
Yes. Yeah. Like, they know, like, the way I react to things, they're like, oh, okay, that's because this happened when she was four.
Right.
So she's still dealing with that. Like,
yeah.
I'm just like, yeah. They know every wound, every heartbreak. They've been there for it all. Like, yeah. Things that I would never talk to anyone about, I would speak to them about.
That's great.
Yeah. And I want that for my baby. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Stassi and I are very similar in the sense that we're very structured. Mm-hmm. I can't fly by the seat of my pants. Like, I need to know. Like, if you tell me we're linking up Wednesday, November 2nd at 11, I will be there at 10:55.
Yep.
Where are you at? It's on my calendar.
Yeah, it is.
Yes.
Wait, but let me go back to when you said schmoozing. You're like, you said Stassi said something like to you about we need to be schmoozing. And you were like, I'm not. Explain that a little more. Because do you mean like, listen, I don't want to send my kid to like this school where I have to worry about her asking for a Gucci bag when she's five? Or like, what do you mean by that? Or was it?
This is what I mean by that.
Okay.
LA is very weird. And I know we have a lot of listeners who like, it's strange to me too. I come from fucking Utah. You go to the public school that's a mile away and no one thinks twice about it. Like, that's just your school. LA is so different. There's amazing public schools, charter schools, private schools, but each one, not so much the public school, because just based off of my public school, it's like, come one, come all. You live in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
but private schools are insane to get into. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to moms even before I gave birth. And I remember having this conversation with Stassi. Everyone was like, a year and a half is when you start.
Wow.
For preschool. Like, start the process of schmoozing, because that sets up their entire.
So it's like grades. Politics.
100%. It is politics. Oh, and Stassi and I looked at each other. We have plenty of time.
Yeah.
Hello. Ocean's turning one.
Right.
Hartford will be a year and a half in June. Like, it's here.
Yeah.
It's freaking here.
And you're saying, you're like, I'm not about that life.
Well, a lot of parents that I spoke to before I gave birth, it was like, you could just tell it was social hour for moms. Mm-hmm. Motherfucker, I got a job.
Right.
I got a job. Yeah. Like, if I'm taking Ocean to preschool, it's because I need to go to work. I don't have time to like show off my newest Birkin bag.
Yeah.
I don't have time to talk to you about the luncheon that I went to and how phenomenal charity. Like, no, I don't. I work during the day.
You're a working mom.
Correct.
Yeah.
And at this point in time, I'm Ocean's provider. Mm-hmm. The money that comes into my household is coming from me, only me. And I'm providing.
Right.
So I can't do the whole, like, my kid goes here because it's so fun for the moms.
Right. And because it's like, and you can't spend, because it probably is the way that you're saying, I don't know. That's why I asked how it works. It sounds like it's almost a full-time job getting your kid into a school.
It is.
Like, starting at 1.5 and you're scheduling these luncheons and I need to know where to go to talk to these ladies. That's like a full-time job.
Yeah. And some of the moms start preschool at like 2 or 3.
Okay.
I was like, I'm not ready to send her to preschool at that age.
Right.
Like, 4 is good. I don't want her gone every day. Like, maybe 2 to 3 days a week is totally fine for a few hours. But like, I mostly work from home. Mm-hmm. We're in my office right now. It's a hot mess in here.
I love it in here, you guys. I feel like
package
home.
Package it. I know. It's a good vibe in here. But I like just being where my kid is. Mm-hmm. So it's just all of these bridges that I'm like, no, we don't need to cross yet. But if you live in LA, no, you're crossing them now, because
it's like pressure to feel like you have to start. Yeah.
Dude, can I tell you how much it is for this preschool?
I'm dying to know, actually.
Preschool, 2 days a week.
Hold on, let me guess. Is it, are we guessing monthly?
Year.
Yearly. Jesus. $5,000.
$16,000. If I want to send Ocean to this preschool.
Oh my God.
2 days a week.
A year.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Double that, and that's a lot of like college tuition.
But if you think about it, a lot of these private schools out here are like $50,000 to $60,000 a year. God.
That gives me
for
anxiety.
These kids to go to private school.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about homeschooling? Were you homeschooled in the younger? Did you go to preschool?
I did go to preschool. I went to Discovery.
Cute. Yep. I was homeschooled for preschool, and I entered kindergarten knowing how to write in cursive and full. I was like light years ahead.
Damn.
Light years ahead.
I think most people send kids to preschool for just to like get them interacting with other kids.
Right.
But I want Ocean to be the same way. Like, I want her walking in and being like, I can count to a million.
Right.
Here's my cursive.
Right. Granted, my mom and all of her friends did it. So I was like socializing 5 days a week. So it was kind of like school, except we would like do our preschool until a certain time and then we'd go play. But it makes sense. If you're like a mom and you have a single child, it does make sense to send them to something that it's like, well, I want them to socialize.
Right.
And I get that. I get that.
And Ocean will have a sibling one day.
Yeah.
I'll make sure of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I would prefer to not have a man involved. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not opposed to, like, finding a sperm donor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So when that time comes, because I don't want her super old, and then I bring a baby in. Like, I want them to be
pretty close in age. Yeah.
So for me, if that time comes and I haven't met anyone who I know is a good dude and has cleared the background check that I secretly have run on him.
Secretly, not so secretly anymore. Okay.
You know? Then. Yeah. Pull up the computer and show me some dudes.
Yeah. Why not?
I have no problem with that.
I think that's a great idea. Before, how many years apart are you and Easton? A few, right?
Like a little over two.
See, and you guys are close. I love that.
Yeah.
That's same with my siblings, a year older, a few years younger. Literally 2 days before I met Kyle, I'm not kidding, I was doing the single thing for like a couple of years. I was feeling good. And I was like, this is it. This is how you live. You don't need a man. I was like, this is how I'm going to do it. In a few years from now, I'm going to get a sperm donor. I'm going to be a career woman first. And then I was like excited about it.
Yeah.
And then I met Kyle and I was like, shit.
But that's how it usually happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like I'm talking to a few people right now and my mom has asked me a few times, like, what are you wanting? Mm-hmm. Even one of these dudes asked me, like, what are you looking for?
Yeah.
I said nothing.
Yeah.
I'm so, like, we've spoken about this before. Like, I'm fulfilled. I have my business that I'm working on. I have family. I have a great group of friends. Like, I'm literally, I have zero expectations.
Yeah. You're not looking for anything, which be prepared because that's usually when it comes. And you're like, shit. Because you're like, I'm fulfilled. I feel like that's when it comes because you're fulfilled. You know, it's like the old saying or whatever. It's like you cannot, unless you're fulfilled, you cannot fulfill someone else.
Of course. Like, and you have to be 100% with yourself so that you equal 200 with a partner.
Yes.
Like, you can't do this 50-50
thing. And you can't look for someone to complete you. Complete yourself, and then that person's a bonus. And that's like, you know, you have a partner in life, for a life partner, but you don't have someone completing you.
Right. Because
then you lose that person or whatever. Even if it's with something terrible happens, you don't know what to do with yourself.
No.
But I think that's when it comes. But I love that you say that. Like, I'm not looking for anyone. And that's also, you know, me. I'm telling you, like, Lala, go have fun. Give yourself at least a year of having fun only.
I think so, too.
That's what I think.
And I wrote this in my book. Like, I don't think that you should have, like, that it's set in stone that you have one hoe phase.
Yeah. No.
You know, like, a lot of people do it in their 20s. Some people don't do it at all. Like, no judgment here. Like, live your life. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, you just roll with the punches. It's like, it is different though now.
Yeah. Like, what? What do you mean?
Well, I'm not just out here. I talk about, like, I'm just out here looking for some big old D.
Yeah.
But I'm really not.
You are, well, I'll let you say it. What do you mean?
Well, we've spoken a lot about, like, me now being sober.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of myself because last week and this week, we'll just say this week. Mm-hmm. This week, I've hit 3 AA meetings already, which the last time I hit 3 AA meetings in a row was, like, at the beginning of my sobriety. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went to this meeting that is, so when you read the big book, there's, like, so many different areas of what it talks about. One of them is sex. So this meeting that I go to, it's a women's meeting. They talk about sexuality mm-hmm. and sobriety and what it was like when they were drinking and what it's like now. And this woman shared her story. And I just like, I had no intention of sharing. And she thought I raised my hand. Like, yeah. I had so much going through my mind as she was talking, and then it was time to share. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Lala, did you have your hand up? Would you like to share? And I was like, I didn't, but like, this is the universe letting me know that like, I need to tell you, you inspire me. Thank you for your share. And I realized in that meeting, I'm not ready to have sex yet.
Really?
I'm not ready. I have so much work to do in this program still. Mm-hmm. I am not only, like, my relationship with sex back in the day was like, add them to the roster. This is so fun. Right. Let's drink. Let's touch each other. You know, then I get into a relationship. And now with, now that it's ended and I, and my eyes are open to what was going on behind my back, sex is tainted for me. I think about it and I'm disgusted. I've got to get out of that. Yeah. I have to reclaim my sexuality. I have to reclaim what sex means to me.
Yeah.
Because right now it's dirty. It's gross. It represents betrayal. It represents darkness. And like, none of my doing. All of someone else is doing. But right now, that's my focus. And so I called my sponsor. She sent over a lot of things that Jessica printed off. And now I just have to, I was super proud of where I was with my steps. And now I'm going back to like rework steps to get me out of this headspace.
Yeah.
And get me confident in my sobriety, which I am. But there's a big difference between, I'm confident in not picking up a drink. That I'm solid on. But people don't realize that it's so much bigger going into AA and doing the program. Not picking up is the cherry on top. The work you have to do as a person, and we're human. So I'm not going to say I'll never clap back again. I'm never going to have sex unless it's the perfect person and it's a big old D.
Yeah.
I feel great about it. Like, shit's going to happen. But like, that's what I'm working on right now. Because the not drinking part, I'm fucking solid. Put a vodka bottle in front of me right now. Don't want it. Bye. The other stuff, the most important stuff in my meetings and in the rooms, I got to revisit because my life is different now. Very different than when I first got sober.
And I think that's so incredible that you are willing to say, all right, time to go back. I've done the steps. Like I've shared before, I have plenty of family members and close friends who are sober now, who are struggling with their sobriety, who are addicts currently, and been in the program, been out of it. And I have some friends who've gone through the program, and yes, they go to meetings here and there, but I don't think they've ever, it's been years, and they've never gone back through the steps. I have other friends who have to do the steps constantly.
Right.
Once they finish them, they're going back through them.
Right.
And because I have a lot of people I know, I've heard about them and talked about them, and I think they're good. They're so great for everyone. And I love some of the specific steps. Just an example is like, and I'm not saying it correctly, I've never been through the program, but there's like, there's a step or whatever that you have to, it's like maybe you write down your insecurity and people who threaten that insecurity and why, like, or something they did.
Right.
This got me angry. Well, why did it get you angry? What does it threaten about yourself? And then you start doing it with a lot and you see like, holy shit, this is threatening my pride, or this is, it's like, and you find this similar thing. I've done it before where I'm like, give me that piece of paper because I need to do that.
Right. It's not, it's, yeah. I mean, the alcoholic mind is very different than anybody else's mind.
Right.
But the steps, like the things that we work on, you could be anybody working on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's for me, my program is like church. It hits every aspect of what I need in my life to be fulfilled on top of giving me strength to not drink again. And I don't want to drink again. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't have that fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What, I get a little loose and then I wake up the next morning with a freaking hangover and the Sunday scaries? I don't want the Sunday scaries.
It's not worth it.
No.
Yes.
And my skin has never looked better since I've been.
That's
the
true.
The puff is gone. The glazed eyes.
You're glowing constantly.
Thank you.
No, just, but yeah, that's.
I dig it.
Yeah.
I'm on and my pink cloud.
Right. But like you said, I'm confident in my sobriety, but I'm working on other things. And I think it's awesome.
Right.
You're working on all the other things.
Yes.
You as yourself. That's a big thing, though, to you, for you to be like, I don't think I'm ready for sex.
No, I'm definitely not.
Yeah.
Once I get my tiggled bitties done. Maybe a different story.
Like, give it a few weeks after that and I'm good to go.
Just kidding. You guys, we have two amazing guests today. AJ and Emil, power couple, incredible. They do a ton of work with the LGBTQ plus community. I'm inspired by them. They'll be coming up after the break. Before we cut to the break, I want to remind you, I'm going on motherfucking tour. The first spot I'll be in is Irvine, California, but that one you can't come to because it's sold out. I'm so excited to see everyone who does have a ticket. Then we're hitting Fort Lauderdale, Clearwater, Orlando, Atlanta, Nashville, which, spoiler alert, Sheena and Brock will be joining me in Nashville, Tennessee.
Woo-hoo! Oh my God, that's going to be wild. Excited.
The segment that I have with them is lit. Yes. Can't tell you guys, but if you're near Nashville, I'm trying to see you. Then we're going to New Orleans, Houston, Austin, and Dallas. By the way, we have Jax and Brittany for the Florida dates. That'll be lit AF.
What? That's so exciting. Yes. Oh my God.
I know. They're locked in. So to buy tickets, just go to givethemlive.com and make sure you stay till the end of the podcast because I'm answering your voicemails. I love y'all and we will be right back.
Did you know today is a great day to warranty? Well, actually every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with American Home Shield Warranty. I signed up with American Home Shield the moment I decided to buy my house. With an American Home Shield warranty, unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or faulty water heater won't break the bank because coverage repairs and replacements are taken care of just like that. And not by me, my mom, or Easton. We wouldn't know the first thing to do if something stopped working in this house. I just contact American Home Shield when a covered item breaks and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. So having that sort of reassurance from American Home Shield is something to celebrate. When it comes to protecting your appliances and home systems, don't worry, be warranty. Visit ahs.com/GTL today to get 20% off any plan. That's ahs.com/GTL for 20% off any plan. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer.
The weather is getting warmer. Summer is coming, finally, and you know what that means? It's time to put all of the jackets and all the sweaters in the back of the closet and pull out all of your shorts and tees. And I know you all want some new looks for the warm summer sunshine, and you don't want to break the bank in the process. I get it. We want to ball on a budget. So do what I did and shop Quince. Now, I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking so chic year after year. Quince has premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at $30. You can find silk tops, 14-karat jewelry, and so much more. All Quince items are 50 to 80% less than many similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes all of those savings on to us. I did just get myself a fabulous cashmere tee in cream. It is so soft and yummy. It's probably just as soft as the Quince waffle towels that I got for Palm Springs. We absolutely love those towels. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Lala for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Lala to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Lala. Hello, my loves. We are back and I have really amazing guests today. We have AJ Gibson and Emil Ennis Jr. You guys look so fabulous. I cannot, like, I'm like mortified showing up looking like a hot mess. Look at you both.
No, you're adorable. We love you and we're appreciative. So thank you for having us. We're excited to be here.
Of course. I'm honored. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of both of you. I think you guys kill it. And then I was, you know, reading into all of your accomplishments and, you know, you guys have an amazing podcast, Confess the Mess, which I dig the name. First of all, I want to know how the two of you came to be.
We actually, it's interesting. It's kind of a full circle moment.
Yeah.
We came to be hosting a podcast together 10 years ago.
But it was video. So yeah. it was video focused at this after show network called AfterBuzz. And they did after shows for all these different shows. And then it also went to a podcast form, yeah. But it was way before podcasts were or are what they are now.
Yeah.
And
the first time we met was actually on camera.
Yeah.
So he made a YouTube video out of it a couple of years back. And a TikTok. And we got a lot of mileage out of it. But yeah. So we have like the moment we met each other for the very first time on camera, which is kind of cool. We were hosting the after show for America's Got Talent, which is the weirdest thing in the world because it did not need an after show.
Yeah.
But we were friends for like the first 5 months and then eventually just randomly started dating and we're getting married now this summer. So it's been a wild, wild ride.
I mean, congratulations. That is
Thank you.
Amazing. And, you know, I always wonder like how it is to work with your partner. Like, obviously you guys are a force as a couple, but you're a force individually as well. How does that dynamic work? How do you balance, you know, your gigs on top of doing podcasts, hosting, and then like shutting it down when you guys are like, hey, now here we are as a couple.
Oh, wait, we're supposed to shut it down?
When are we supposed to shut it down?
I think for us, and that's kind of what the whole premise of our podcast, Confess Your Mess, is like, it's people submitting their secrets and their confessions. And yeah. Years ago, it actually started with just the two of us. And we sat face to face, naked on the bed together.
Yeah.
And we kind of confessed our deepest desires, our fears, things that we thought we would be judged for by the other person. Sort of
holding us back in our relationship.
Yeah.
Because I'm about 9 years older than he is. And I'm actually the first person he's ever gone on a date with.
What?
And we're getting married and we've been together almost 10 years now. And
when we met, I was in the closet. So, yeah. And my father's a pastor. He's retired now. My mom's Jamaican. So there's a lot of layers to it.
Yeah.
But like we confess those things to each other. And when you talk about like how we work together, because a lot of people want to know like, oh, how do you guys work together and like shut it down and do all these things? And I think for us, we're each other's biggest fans. Yeah. I know it sounds corny and cheesy, but we really are. And we're both hosts. Like we aren't like hosts who are trying to be actors or hosts who are trying to be models or something else. We're
and
like,
I think we also respect each other's career.
Yeah.
Careers and talent. Like he's done things I've never done. I've done things he's never done.
Yeah.
So we kind of bring
and
it
there's
together.
No jealousy. There's no jealousy.
There's no jealousy.
In moments, I think I struggle with it a little bit more than he does. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, just it's not, I don't know if it's jealousy. It's almost like, you know, I see him get an opportunity and I'm excited for him. I'm so proud of him. And I don't want his opportunity. I don't want to take something from him. But then I have that thought in the back of my mind that I think is pretty common. But then I'm kind of like, when's my next turn? Because okay. You know this industry. It's like you're always waiting for the next opportunity. Every time you work a job, you're on the top of a mountain. You feel like you're like ruling the world. And then what? What's
right.
The next thing? Yeah.
And there's someone always sitting in the pocket ready to take your place.
Always.
Right.
Always. Yeah.
You constantly feel like you're replaceable. I don't think I get jealous on my end just because.
Well, you're a better human.
Because you're.
To be fair.
Like, that is absolutely true. But I think for me, and I think this is why we work too, is when he does have those moments, I'm very much in the mentality of what's for you is for you. And so anytime we get an opportunity or don't get an opportunity, it really is. Yeah, you might not have gotten this, or I might have gotten this, or you might have gotten this, but that just means it wasn't meant for me, or it wasn't meant for you.
And we've also just been through so much. I remember there was a time I had a national talk show called Hollywood Today Live on Fox years ago. And while I was hosting a national daily talk show, he was also working on stuff and he was doing a red carpet or something. And he usually would hire a camera operator, a camera and a sound person.
I would hire no one. I was broke. I would have my best friend follow me to the carpet.
Wait, you didn't give her any money?
No. What money?
The hustle is real out here.
Yeah. And one time it fell through. And so I went and I was this camera and a sound operator on a red carpet. And so many people we ran into were like, wait, AJ, what are you doing? Like, why do you have a headset on? And why are you like holding the camera, like supporting a tripod? Because he needed me to. And that morning I'm hosting a national talk show. And that evening I'm on a red carpet in Westwood helping him out. But then also on the flip side, I'll be hosting, you know, red carpet for like the Golden Globes. And I'm like, hey, Emil, I need a picture of Lady Gaga. And he comes and takes a picture of Lady Gaga. Like,
it was so the most epic photo, by the way. It had like incredible. 5 seconds to get that shot. It was
so
blurry,
good.
Super crisp and clear.
Wow. But, like, he does that's a talent in itself.
He does my social media for me on all these big red carpets I do. And I've interviewed the biggest celebrities in the world. And he's right there by my side posting on Instagram for me. So like, I think that we don't have too much ego.
Yeah.
Like, ego doesn't get in the way.
Right.
We're there to help each other.
No, it doesn't seem that way. And it seems like also you guys have done something that many people try to do, which is take their career and their relationship and blend it into one and make it freaking work and be successful, because that is not easy. It usually is a demise in people's relationships when they start blending the two. You guys have done, you've conquered the impossible is what you're telling me. And I think it's the ego that you put aside, right? I mean, help me out.
Yeah.
I hope so.
It has to be part of it. I think when you look at like reality shows, I know you're in the reality space, and like when you look at reality shows, sometimes when a relationship goes on reality show, you're like, oh God, it's not going to last, especially marriages and things. But I think for us, one, we're very particular. Like on our podcast, we reveal a lot. Like we have no filter.
Probably too much. Yeah.
But we still know like, there's secrets and things that we have revealed, but there's so much people don't know about us, but people relate to us because we are telling more than a lot of people tell, but we're also still, we have our private things we keep with each other. And I think the reason why it works is because we do have this, and maybe it's because we posted together and been around each other for so long that we have this rapport with each other and this trust with each other.
Well, there's
that,
an understanding.
Right.
Yeah. There's
we
some
know
things
what's
that are
comfortable
just for us.
And what's just for us. Yeah.
Which makes me think that we're low key kind of like wild, because the stuff that we do tell on our podcast is kind of insane. So I'm like, gosh, we're keeping secrets that people don't know about and they will never know about. And I think that we didn't seek it out. Like we were together for almost 8 years before we worked together on camera.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So how long have you been together in total then?
9 and a half, almost 10 years now.
Yeah, we met in, the first time we met on camera was May 2012. And then we started dating in September of 2012 after I came out.
Yeah, and so I think our thing was, so many of his like followers or fans or supporters and mine separately would see us pop up on each other's social media. And they were always like, I want to see more of you guys together.
Yeah.
And then he had a YouTube channel for a while. And it still does, but that was just pretty solo. And then he put up a video of us together. I think it was like a boyfriend challenge or a mukbang or like one of those like couples videos.
We have never done a mukbang together.
We talked about it. We did. Yeah, yeah. What was it? The boyfriend question? Boyfriend tag.
Yeah.
Boyfriend tag. And it did really well.
Yeah.
And we're like, huh. And then we put a couple pictures up on Instagram. Like it did really well. And then I remember a few years ago, we walked the red carpet at the Billboard Music Awards together.
God, you guys are so fabulous.
I
keep telling me.
But I was hosting the red carpet for Dick Clark, and they produced a show, and I'd done it for many years. And I said, I'm going to have Emil walk the carpet with me this year. I've never done it. It's time.
And he at the time, just put in perspective, like he says, he hosted like major red carpets all the time. So he's walked the carpet. He's been photographed by Getty and all these things. For me, I was hosting for an entertainment news channel, but I was also still a server at a restaurant. And so I was kind of like, I was scared. So while he was prepping and getting ready for the show, I went to, because Billboard Music Awards at the time was still in Vegas.
Yeah.
I went to the FedEx Kinko's in whatever hotel we were staying at. I think it was like New York. And I went and printed out my name on little strips. So just in case photographers didn't know who I was like prepared to hand it to them. Because I was like, they know who he is. They don't know who I am.
So yeah. And then I picked out, I got him in a really like sexy black like suit with like a mesh like tank top underneath.
Hot.
Yeah. So I was like, you're hot. Let's show it off. And we walked out there. He was so nervous. And I remember walking out there and I'm wearing like this like dope, like linen, like suit. And I was working with Erica Jane. We were co-hosting that show together with a couple other people. And I said, grab my hand. And when I wink at you, lean in and give me a kiss. Cause I'm like, this is what the paparazzi, the press, they're going to love this. Right. So he does, he gives me a kiss. That picture went everywhere. It was featured in so many different outlets. And the next year, Billboard Music Awards were doing their promos for like the new show, and their whole theme for the promo was Love is in the Air. And it shows like couples from past Billboard Music Awards. And it was Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton, John Legend and Chrissy Teigen, and Emil and me.
That's when you know you've made it.
I know. And we're like, wait, what? Like that's wild.
It was a surreal feeling for sure.
Yeah. So that was sort of our like, because as a queer person, if you kind of come out a lot, especially if you're in like a certain industry, like you come out over and over and over again.
Right.
And we kind of feel like that was like another coming out for us. And from that point forward, we're like, let's just do stuff together.
Yeah.
Like,
why not being afraid and just go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So AJ, when did you come out?
I've been out. Gosh, I've been out for 22 years almost.
you're from like a little town, right? Ohio.
Yeah, I'm from a little town in Ohio.
Okay.
Yep, Ohio.
So were you living in LA when you came out, or?
No, I was still in college. So I was a sophomore at the University of Toledo at the time. I had gone there actually to run track, got sort of overwhelmed by it all. And I ended up playing volleyball in college for 2 years. And my sophomore year, I actually came out of the closet. This is so funny. Do you know Jonathan Bennett? I'm sure you do.
Yes.
Jonathan Bennett, the actor. So yes. Mean Girls. And yeah, he's getting married to our friend James next month. Yeah. So Jonathan and I were friends in high school.
Wow.
And Jonathan actually was good friends with my cousin Betsy. Betsy, it's a very Ohio name. And we were hanging out at her graduation party. She was a year older than me. He's like, oh, your cousin AJ is gay, by the way. And she's like, no, he's not. And he's like, yeah, he is. And I was like, eh. And he clocked me totally. And he ended up being one of my very first friends ever. And so he and his group of friends sort of took me under their wing, and we became friends when I was, you know, in high school going into college. I was about 19, 20 years old when I actually really came out. And so I came out then, dropped out of college for a couple of years because I really just was struggling with it. And my family wasn't really that cool with it. And I kind of went into a pretty deep depression for a little bit, but ended up getting back into college, transferred to Ohio State, graduated from there. And then as soon as I did that, I moved to New York for a year. Then I moved out here 15 years ago. So, yeah.
Yeah. I know when I ask these questions, I feel like it's such a, and I'm not minimizing it in my mind, because I grew up in Utah, and most people don't know this. We have one of the largest gay pride parades per capita. It is in Salt Lake, which was like a very proud moment for me, you know, coming from Utah. And so when people ask these questions, I'm like, I feel like it's so dated to still be talking about this being a thing. And then I feel like we still have to have the conversation, because you're talking about your family struggled with it. You know, I've had friends and their families struggle with it. Emil, you're from a family, your father's a pastor. Your mother, I believe you said, is Jamaican. Mm-hmm. And AJ was, you know, the first, that was that your first love, your only love. And it was when you came out. Like, what was that like?
Before he kind of, or I don't know if it was, we might have done the boyfriend tag. And then after we did the boyfriend tag on my channel, people were kind of asking for the coming out story.
Yeah.
And so I did like the video explaining my coming out story. And I think for me, it was definitely difficult because I just have a super religious family and I was terrified. And I was honestly prepared to just live in the closet for my whole life, because there's just so many layers of feeling like you're going to hell, feeling like you're being judged. Like, what is the family going to think? Like, all these different things. And the network that we met on, I actually wanted to work behind the scenes, and they put me in front of the camera as a host. But I was prepared, again, to not, even though I love being in front of the camera, I love entertaining. Mm-hmm. I was prepared to just kind of live in the shadows because I was so afraid of presenting myself. Like, if you watch some of the earlier videos for the first few years,
so awkward.
I was
so
constantly inauthentic. Thinking about, okay, what am I doing with my hands? Like, if I'm talking, like, I want to make sure I'm talking the straight way and like looking at, it's just so many different things that are going through your head.
I've seen throwbacks of you versus like how you are
today.
Just, and there is a huge difference.
It's wild. Like, I was so afraid to be who I actually am. And just whenever you live in this space of inauthenticity, I think one, people can read that. And then once you truly just, because regardless of, I don't think coming out is dated. And I only say that because there's so many people who are not living in LA or a big city.
That's what
who,
I mean.
They still need to hear these stories. Right. They still need to hear how we navigated this, because it's so easy to say, oh, we've come such a long way, when there are still kids who are struggling with this and who need to have somebody to look up to or hear a story to say, oh, maybe if I take this route, or I see how Emil did it, or how AJ did it, this gives me hope.
Well, because for every, like, it's great to see shows like Euphoria and Saved by the Bell, the way they handled Josie Toda's story as a transgender woman, as an actress, is really beautiful. And it seems like they just kind of like, I love it. It's great that like this younger generation can be like, they kind of like brush past it and it is what it is. It doesn't need to be a big thing. But the reality is, you know, I host a national talk show, a queer talk show, every single morning on Channel Q called The Morning Beat, right? And we're the first and only LGBTQ plus talk radio station in the entire country.
Wow.
In 2022, we're the only one still. And I'm very proud of that. But I mean, right now in Florida, you know, Governor DeSantis and his Republican allies are pushing the Don't Say Gay bill, making it illegal to say the word gay in schools in the entire state of Florida. And because of that, Also, Tennessee just brought forth legislation this week, and other states across the country are now doing the exact same thing. They're trying to make it illegal to say the word gay in any context, to talk about your gay uncle, your gay aunt, your gay dad, like your gay friend. They're trying to make it illegal to even say the word in school. Oh, and we're talking K through 12. So it might seem like we've come so far, and we have in some ways, but that by no means doesn't mean that like the coming out story, it's different now, maybe for some people.
Yeah.
But where I come from, it's just as hard to come out today as it probably was when I came out 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's problematic.
You both put that so beautifully. And that's exactly like you said, not everyone's living in Los Angeles where, you know, we're out here, we're being exactly who we are. We forget that the little dynamics that we have, the friend groups, the family, where we come from, it's still a huge thing. And so when I say it seems dated, I know that it's not, but it should be.
Oh, I wish it were.
Yeah. Right, I know.
And if we could have big pride parades in very Mormon Salt Lake City, honey, we could start doing more all over the country. So, yeah.
Well, I think that your talk show, that's amazing. I mean, it's crazy that it's 2022 and it's the only one in the country. And, you know, I am definitely excited for people to hear this podcast because, I mean, look at the platform that you guys are on and what you're doing. And then you're such an ally to the LGBTQ+ community. I mean, you're really doing it all and looking fabulous while you're doing it. I wish my listeners could see you guys right now. Not see me, but see you guys. I mean, every straight woman, I'm sure when you guys walk into a place, they're like, damn it.
Well, it's funny because... My best friend Drew, also her birthday is coming up. Happy birthday. Whenever I hang out with her, because granted, both of us, we are kind of masculine presenting for the most part. And so people don't necessarily look at us sometimes. They don't necessarily look at us all the time and say, oh, I can just see if they're gay. And so when I'm hanging out with her, especially if I'm in like a muscle tank or whatever, and we're hanging out, I was at her apartment helping her film this audition the other day. And I was in my tank top and some shorts, and there's this guy in her building. I don't think she'll care that I'm telling this. There's this guy in her building that she has a crush on. So she literally sees him and she knocks on the window and says, hi. And then she's like, oh shit, you're with me. Flame out. So I know whenever she says that, I'm like, yes, I just do something. So like they know that I'm gay because she's had guys before where they see me with her and they think that we're a couple.
Oh, right. Every gay man in America who's maybe not totally like feminine presenting right now can relate to that.
Yeah.
Like, listen, honey, I can be as gay as the day is long.
Yeah. We have a wig drawer. We have feather boas, high heels. Yeah,
absolutely, we do. And we love every minute of it. But day in and day out, like, we are just who we are.
Right.
And we don't have a ton of super feminine qualities naturally. So sometimes we have to kind of help our friends out and get out of the way so they can meet a guy.
Yeah, don't be a cock block for the friend. Like, do something to let them know we are not together. So I have to go back to what you said. You said that you guys, and I relate to this because even though I'm on reality TV, you know, you guys are hosts, and when people watch you, they almost expect for you to share every single part about your life. And there's been times on Vanderpump where I'm like, I have a therapy session and, you know, the cameras want to be there. And they're like, but this is your real life. And I say, in real life, I don't invite anyone to my therapy session. So get the fuck out. You know? So I love that you still keep those moments to yourselves. But you said you were sitting on the bed naked talking to each other. I'm newly single. I'm trying to bag me a boo. Do I need to sit on a bed naked and tell him my deepest, darkest secrets to bag a good man?
Not yet. It depends. So
yeah. I wouldn't. That's not a date one scenario.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Oh, yeah.
we did that like year 5 or 6. Yeah. Not saying you have to wait that long because we do like for the people, our friends who are in relationships, we do kind of advise and to our listeners, we tell them that it's a beautiful thing to do because it was scary. We revealed things to each other. We've never like said publicly what we revealed, but we both revealed things to each other that we were so terrified to reveal to each other. Obviously, when it came to desires and fantasies, like you talk about the things that you want sexually or in life, and it's like, oh, that's hot.
Yeah, but, certain kinks you might have.
Sure. But then when you get to like things that maybe you've done in the past, you never told your partner, then it's a vulnerable position.
Yeah.
But I think what made it beautiful is it was hard to hear some of those things on yeah. both sides. But after a few days, when you sit with that, it's like, if you were willing to bare your soul and trust me with this information, and I also receive that from you, and we're literally laying everything out on the table, it just creates this bonding and this.
Yeah. There's got to be mutual trust, though.
Yeah.
It could go south. It could go two ways. if one person's ready to open up and be vulnerable and reveal, like, maybe, hey, maybe I messed up earlier in the relationship, or maybe I did something that isn't really like the highest version of myself, and maybe I disrespected you or our relationship in some way, shape, or form. And if one person is willing to admit that and to say that, and the other person's not willing to receive it or allow space for forgiveness, you're doomed.
Wow.
So, and it's not that there was like cheating and all that kind of stuff going on in our relationship, but there was very like borderline stuff happening. And I messed up early on in the relationship a little bit, to be honest. And it was cheating. It was in my mind, it was sort of justified at the time because we were still kind of going through some stuff, and yeah. I wasn't really sure if it was a forever situation for me.
Like, full transparency, yeah. I didn't know this, but at the time when that situation occurred, he was pretty much getting ready to break up with me.
Yeah.
And so I can see how in his mind, he might not have seen, like, I'm about to leave this guy anyway. Yeah. What he didn't know is I'm a millennial junior, and I was prepared to fight for my men. So I had little tricks I realized he was checking out.
But I didn't know at the time. Yeah. We lived together briefly at the beginning of our relationship. And part of the thing was, like, we broke up for like, what, 8 hours?
One time.
And then in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, I'm checked out. I'm done with this relationship. And it's just a matter of time before he's actually officially all the way moved out.
Which that was too. So we moved in together yeah. after maybe 9 months of dating. And we moved in together at the time back in 2013 for financial reasons.
Yeah, we were
both broke. He was a bartender. Okay,
because I was going to say 9 months is quick.
Yeah. It was like one of those situations where he was a bartender and doing the hosting dream. I was working for a production company and doing the hosting dream. But neither, like, I was making like $100 a day after tax.
Nothing.
So we were just broke, and we were like, oh, you know, you're over here all the time, so why don't you move in?
Worst reason to ever move in.
No. I will say this to couples. If you are in a relationship, you guys just started dating, it doesn't matter if you're over at your partner's place every single day. You visiting them and staying in their space versus you actually moving in completely changes the dynamic of the relationship.
You can leave a toothbrush and a clean pair of underwear. That's fine, but don't move in unless you're absolutely, absolutely ready.
And there was a roommate too. It was just a lot of layers to it.
Oh, chaos. That is chaos.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got engaged. When did you get engaged?
Christmas of 2020.
Okay, and did you have plans to get married? Did the pandemic mess up the wedding plans at all? Or did you always want... I mean... You guys have been together a long time.
Kind of, honestly.
Or are you like, what's the rush?
Right.
Well, kind of, yeah. Okay, so are we common law married by now?
Well, I
don't know. Does that exist in California? I don't know if law does.
I don't know what that really is. But I will say that, listen, yeah, it's been a long time. You also have to think that we have not legally been able to get married only for like the last 5 or 6 years.
Right.
So the first few years of our relationship, marriage was never on our radar because it wasn't legal. So it's not like maybe you grew up having an idea, or your girlfriends grew up having an idea of like marriage someday, right? You have this picture, the wedding dress, the big thing, whatever. We didn't have that because we never thought that was going to be a possibility.
Right.
Right. So then all of a sudden, a few years ago, we get the option. I had planned actually to propose a bunch of different ways because he let me know for a long time that he wanted something big and like over the top is how.
But not like a flash dance model.
Well, that's why I thought first. I'm like, we got to do a flash model.
No.
So I thought I had to do something really, really cool. And I'm like, okay, well, he wants to make content out of this. So this has to be a YouTube video. So what can I do? And I talked to my friends at Dick Clark. We thought about maybe doing it on the Billboard Music Awards red carpet that spring, a couple years, like back in 2021. And we thought about doing that. And then that got canceled. And then I was talking to my team over at Wendy Williams, and she was going to help me propose to him live on the air on like a Valentine's Day episode or something. And then also I'm friends with Jeannie Mai, and I've worked with her in the past. And I've also worked with Garcelle and Lonnie, and he's on the reel. He's been there for 3 years now. And so then I thought, okay, well, maybe I can reach out to Jeannie and we can do like maybe a proposal on the reel, like all these cool ideas that I was running through my head. Right. And then the pandemic happens. And then I'm like, oh, so I just kind of waited. And I was like, okay, well, this is only going to be like 2 weeks. Like everybody thought it was going to be 2 weeks when it started.
Right.
And so then 2 weeks goes by, then 2 months go by, then 6 months go by. And I'm like, okay. And all of a sudden a whole year has gone by. And I'm like, I haven't proposed this whole time. why? Like, what am I waiting for? I'm waiting for the pandemic to be over. It could be over in another day, or it could be 10 more years. We didn't know.
Hey, we could still be in it now.
This is like pre-vaccine, pre-everything, right?
Yeah.
And so finally, I decided to do it on Christmas morning and involve our parents, both sides. And so we had it on, we had a Zoom set up so we could record it. And then I had,
we were supposed to, COVID ruined it. We were supposed to spend the holidays with our family. We were supposed to go to my family for Thanksgiving, his family for Christmas.
Okay.
And so at the time, I didn't really think anything of it because we were already planning on doing that Zoom since we weren't able to spend the holidays with them. But it turned out that he was proposing. It was really sweet.
Yeah.
But we didn't
the footage.
Yeah, we didn't, as far as like actual wedding planning goes, I don't think that our wedding planning COVID hasn't really ruined that. It's tried multiple times.
Oh, it's stressful though.
Cause as it's, we're doing a destination wedding. And so we have a lot of people who are traveling. And when you see, oh, now there's this new variant and it's spiking, and we're like, oh God. So it's like, there's this anxiety that bubbles up because we're trying to move forward. We're trying to just move forward and just trust everything's going to work out. But also like
the COVID of it all.
Yeah.
And also asking our family to, my dad is 70 years old and got a passport for the first time in his life.
Yeah, wow.
To come to Mexico for our wedding. So to ask people to go to a foreign country during a pandemic.
Yeah.
Into like drug cartel land. I mean, in their brains.
More layers.
Because literally, we have family members who have never been to Mexico, some of them never traveled out the country. And because they're in their small communities and they don't travel, they only see what they see on TV. And sometimes
the headlines,
if they're looking at the headlines, it's all negative. And so we both have had to tell some family members, okay, so you're saying that there's a shooting or drug cartel in Mexico. Okay, look down the street in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Literally where I'm from. I'm like, or look in LA, like any community you're in, you can find negative if you're looking for.
Right.
Literally, his hairstylist, we have a friend of ours was like mugged recently in LA, in Beverly Hills. So it happens
everywhere. You guys, you and your families need a show. And it should be based on getting them to Mexico for the wedding. I would watch that.
To God's ears.
I would watch that.
And we've been pretty open on social media about the struggles of dealing with family members who aren't as supportive as we thought. So, and I don't care talking about this publicly. I've said to them, I haven't talked to some of those members, but to anytime I'm on television on a hosting on a show or they see me on TV, oh my God, Emil, we're so proud of you. Like paragraphs. Oh, this is my nephew. Or we go visit
and they make me dinner and they love me to death.
But then when it comes to the wedding stuff, all of a sudden we're getting like declined RSVPs, and then we're finding out from other family members the reason why, and like they're not supportive. And I'm like, so I think that really messes with my brain, and it makes it feel as if I wasn't on TV, if I wasn't in the career that I'm in, would you still support me or be excited to have me as your nephew? Or do you only still tolerate me because I'm that famous? And I'm not even famous, but that's how they be when I go back home. Am I that famous nephew?
Because your fiance is on Wendy Williams and they watch it. So it's tricky to kind of realize what family members actually think of us. And it doesn't mean they don't love us, but it also hurts. Like your love doesn't trump like your beliefs. You can't support my own sister, my own full-blooded sister is not coming to the wedding because she just can't get there. She just has new faith that she's come into in recent years. And all of a sudden she believes God, you know, did not make me this way, and she can't support it. And so that's been devastating.
It's but really
hurtful. We've tried really hard to not take it as personally as humanly possible, even though that's not possible, but to try to focus on all of the people who are willing to fly to a foreign country during
pandemic. Focus on the love and the support.
Right. A lot of them.
Because we want people who are supportive of us there, because those are people when you're going through any rocky moments in your marriage, you want people who are there who know the foundation and are there to support you through those times, not people who are just there pretending like they are supportive of you.
And it would ruin the entire celebration having someone there that really didn't support the love. It's like, I wish you wouldn't have come. And I have so much respect for you both, and I'm so happy for you, and just the uphill climb that it seems like, you know, being in Hollywood, doing what you do for a living on top of, you know, dealing with a wedding that family members are not supportive of. It's something that a lot of us can't fathom, but, you know, I'm happy to have you on the podcast to like have people feel less alone. And before I let you guys go, that wedding's going to be fabulous.
I want to like commend you though for saying that though, because as an ally, that's a really beautiful thing to say, because just that acknowledgement of, I can't even fathom, like those words coming from an ally who's maybe not a queer person to say to a couple like us who's kind of in this like vulnerable sort of emotional state means a lot, yeah. Not just to us, but your listeners who might be, you know, queer and maybe wherever they are in their own journey. Words like that go a long way. So I just want to say thank you for that.
Yeah.
I appreciate you saying that. I do whatever I possibly can, but I will never pretend like I can understand, because I can't. Right. I'm a white woman who identifies as a straight person. I don't have adversity in many ways that others do. So thank you for sharing and being so vulnerable on this podcast. And I think the one thing that I would like you both to share before I let you sign off, and you don't have to look at me anymore. you know, these young kids are, you know, maybe someone older who feels so inspired to come out and just be who they are in these small places. They see you, but then they realize where they really are stuck. What is your advice to them? Because you've both come from backgrounds like that, and look at where you are now. I think people would appreciate hearing your advice.
I would say that you're not as alone as you think. There are other queer people in your community. And as safely and as comfortably as you can, as you navigate those early days, find them. Try to find a way to find them. Because it's so important that whatever it is that makes you you in life, and that could be your sexuality, it could be your desires, it could be your creativity, whatever it is, whatever your outlet, your thing is, you need to get it out of you. And I believe that we're put on this planet to share whatever that gift is, right? And you can't share it if you're hiding it inside of you. So find one person, and that person will lead you to another person and lead you to another person. And that one person oftentimes is maybe a girlfriend at school, or an aunt, or like that one person who's a little more kind and a little more compassionate, a little more empathetic. And if they're that way about other things, chances are they might be that way about you too. And that can open you up to like a whole different world, because I get it. Like, small towns are scary, and they're not always the most accepting, the most loving of anybody who's different, but also they can surprise you. Like, my small town is pretty like messed up in some ways. But in some ways, there are people there that are really incredible and really wonderful and loving, and they just want an opportunity to love on you. So give them the opportunity, but do it on a timeline in a way that feels safe and authentic to you.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And I think for me, and I can only come from the experience of, if I were to talk to my younger self, I think the biggest thing I would say is, you can't focus on other people's opinions of you. I know for me, when I was in the closet, I was so focused on, do they know I'm gay? Like, constantly thinking about all these different things. And when you focus so much on what other people think, and you aren't truly being who you are, even if it is like scary. And I'm not saying if you aren't in a place that you feel safe being exclusively expressive of your sexuality, I completely get that. Safety comes first. But I was hiding in so many ways where I felt like I had to create a version of myself that
could exist.
It's hard for me to look back at that person knowing the hurt and the pain that I was dealing with every single day. And so I would just kind of similar to AJ in terms of, if you can find that outlet, you can find that person. For me, it was TV shows. So it was watching like
Will and Grace.
It really was. Like, seeing Will and Grace. All of us. It was Degrassi. Also, like, watching Degrassi and seeing, I think it was Marco. Marco was like the gay character. Like, if you can find some type of way to relate, or now, I mean, we're older, but now you can get on YouTube or Snapchat or whatever and see queer people who may be in an area that you're not from, but you can see how they express themselves and what they deal with, and you hear their stories.
Yeah, social media has really changed the game. It has. Not always for the best, but it has changed the game in a lot of ways.
Just find a way. I don't necessarily like saying it gets better, because life is hard.
Life is hard
in so many ways. But just know that if you truly focus on being the authentic person and following that path, that you can find joy. It may not be easy every single day, but you can find joy.
And also, if nothing else, just listen to the Confess Your Mess podcast, because it's queer as fuck. And we have a lot of really fantastic guests on there, and you'll feel represented.
You do.
And you'll feel like You'll feel like your life isn't nearly as messy as you thought it was.
Yeah, right? I love that. Oh my gosh, y'all give me chills. I'm like beyond honored to have you on the Give Them La La podcast. And where can people find you guys?
You can find me, I think, everywhere at Emilianish Jr. Maybe on TikTok at Emilianish Jr. 31, because I can't get my name for some reason. And then the podcast is at Confess Your Mess Podcast on Instagram and at Confess Podcast on Twitter.
Yeah, I think this is such a douchey thing, but just Google me.
Like, I love that.
AJ Gibson. No, go to AJGibsonTV.com. It's my website. You can find everything there. I'm an author. I wrote a book called Flipping the Script. You can buy a copy there. And there's also, I'm a public speaker. I do a lot of other side things. But true story, I can't get AJ Gibson on Instagram. So it's _ AJ Gibson, because there's a mother in, I think, North Dakota whose daughter does ballet who has the name AJ Gibson. Her name's not AJ. And I've tried to buy it from her many times and she will not sell it to me. So yeah. I'm _ AJ Gibson on Instagram.
Oh my gosh. I so relate to not being able to get your name. It's the most annoying thing. You guys are amazing. I hope that you enjoy the rest of your day and thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, loves.
So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part, zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress, No Glue Manis, and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold. And that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now. So get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code LALA at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/LALA and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Before I let you guys go, I want to do a voicemail, but I also want to remind you that I'm going on tour. I know a lot of you are like, you're not a comedian, you're not a performer, what does this tour entail? Well, it entails you having the best night of your fucking life. I promise you that. I'm going to give you all the feels between us getting to know each other, playing games, feeling inspired. You want me to call somebody? Put them on speed dial because I'm about to call them for you. We have a lot of different segments. It's going to be amazing. We are starting off in Irvine, California, but you can't come to that because I'm sold out, motherfuckers. Then we're going to Fort Lauderdale, Clearwater, Orlando, Atlanta, Nashville, New Orleans, Houston, Austin, and Dallas. You can find all of these dates and cities on my Instagram page at Lala Kent. Jess, can you play a voicemail for me?
Yes, I can.
Hey Lala, this is Christina from West Palm Beach. I just wanted to call and tell you how much I love you and how much you guys got me through the quarantine. You and my boyfriend, Vanderpump, is what we binge watched during the quarantine, and it was just what helped us get it through. I guess our question for you that we always wonder is, what is your family's reaction to things that they see on Vanderpump? Again, love you. Thank you so much for everything and for always being you and giving us Lala. Love you.
Christina, First of all, I developed an obsession with Vanderpump Rules during quarantine as well. I had never seen any episode or any season before I entered season 4 because I'm just that vain. I'm like, if I'm not on it, what's there to watch? I'm just kidding. Really, I'm not. I started from season 1 and I was like, this is the most amazing show and I am honored to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, these are the OGs and they deserve so much credit because this is the best television I've ever watched. So we have that in common, Christina. My family doesn't watch the show.
They don't.
No, my family doesn't watch the show. And I don't even think it's because they don't want to see me in certain situations because they know me. Mm-hmm. I'm the same person on television that I am, you know, behind, a little more sensitive.
Behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you would get to, if you took my interactions with my family and you edit it down, you would probably see the same thing that you see on Vanderpump Rules.
Right, right.
But like, there's no need for them to watch it in their minds. They're like, not interested.
You. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I try to get them to. I mean, my mom hasn't read my book. I don't know that I want her to read my book. But she knows everything. You know, every blowjob I've ever given, every time I've popped off or clapped back on someone.
Yeah, as you guys learned from last week's episode, they're a very open family.
Yes, clearly. I need to mention it all. So they don't watch. And I tell my mom about things that happen. And I'm sure if she watched it on TV, she may have a different reaction. Like, everyone's seeing this?
Yeah.
Ah. Or everyone read that in your book? Yikes. Yeah. You know?
When you were first on the show, did they watch it? Mm-hmm. And then, oh, nothing.
No.
Wow.
Nothing.
That's cool.
Like, I had to call my dad to fill him in on me cussing too much because I got too drunk on Watch What Happens Live my first time.
Oh.
He was like, first of all, what is this show you're talking about?
Right.
Why are you in New York? What? What's happening?
That's good, though.
Yeah. I just don't think they were interested in... Like, I just don't think, oh, it's Monday or whatever night we air now. Mm-hmm. I gotta tune in to my kid on Vanderpump Rules. Like, my mom would much rather be watching 2020 and Easton watches his sports. And my dad was, like, into watching CSI.
Yeah.
So.
I like that, though. Well, because you're right. They already know you. So why watch? And then you never have to worry about, like, oh, maybe that scene wasn't great, but my family's not gonna see it, so who cares?
Yeah. I wouldn't care if they did see it.
Yeah.
But it's nice because then when I call my family, like a lot of my cast members are like, oh, my mom or my sister or whoever is obsessing over this last episode. Mm. And I'm like, my mom just called me to tell me that like there's drama at her work and like they're really trying to get this dog adopted.
I love Lisa.
You know? So that's that. Jess, do you want to play me another voicemail before we wrap it up?
Yes, I do.
Can we wrap it up? Do you remember?
Wait, what is that?
Season 4. During Katie Malone, or no, Kristen Doty and Stassi's speech at the fucking engagement party of Katie's. And I'm like, can we wrap it up? I would, if someone did that to me at my engagement party,
you'd be furious.
I would claw your eyes out.
Oh my God.
God, they're so classy.
Can we wrap it up? I love
it. And that. I go, what the fuck are you talking about?
Icon.
And then they flash to me with my drunk Shih Tzu looking hair. And I'm like, anyway.
Oh, that's good.
God, it was a badass. Next voicemail.
Next voicemail.
Hey, Lala and Jess. My name is Haley from Iowa. I just wanted to say I listened to your book on Audible and I loved it. I want to say thank you for being so unapologetically yourself. It's refreshing for reality TV. My question is, if you were a housewife, what would be your tagline? Thank you so much for your time. Have a good day.
Oh, hey, Haley. I'm in a mood today. Is there any way that I could just like, you know how they always like do a little flip around?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't I just like flip around and be like, give them Lala. Enough fucking said.
Enough fucking said.
Yeah, they can bleep that part out.
Enough beep said.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be good. That'd be good. Which housewife franchise would you want to be on? Salt Lake, right? Obviously.
Yes.
Or Beverly Hills.
I'll take whatever I can get, to be honest. Where do you want to move me? Where do I fit in? Salt Lake would be a good one, though.
Right.
Because a lot of times I see them arguing, and I'm like, Lala needs to come shut this shit down.
Yeah.
Lala needs to come spill mad knowledge. They have Heather Gay, who's like voice of reason always, and she makes all the sense in the world, and I could watch her 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And same with Whitney. They're called Bad Weather. You wouldn't know that because you don't watch. bad weather. There's such a vibe, but they need Lala with them.
Okay, with those two.
Yes, yes. Let's fuck shit up.
I like that.
Yep, I'm giving them all a run for their money.
Be that. Give them Lala. Let's fuck shit up.
That's so funny. Give them Lala. Let's fuck shit up. That's my tagline.
That's good.
No, next week I'm gonna have an epic tagline, and I'm gonna tell you guys what it would be. I gotta think on it though.
Yeah.
Some of them are great, and others I'm like.
Yeah,
not so great. You should have told producers, Rongo. It ain't happening. All right, you guys. I love you so much. I hope that I see you on the Give Them Lala brand new tour. You guys are fucking awesome for tuning in, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode, and I will talk to you next week.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.